Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy tonight to be able to open the Bible freely in this place. We thank you that the Word of God is the final authority, and tonight we look to you to instruct us from it. Help us to be diligent in all the things that you open up to us tonight. We thank you that the blessed Holy Spirit, who takes the things of Christ, will make them known to us tonight. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 again tonight. We're looking at verses 24 through 27, where the Scripture tells us, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now tonight we're going to have a look at Moses. There are some very interesting things about Moses. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, Moses was one of the greatest men in the history of the world. Well, Moses was great in that he made decisions, and he also made mistakes. That's the very first thing I want us to learn tonight from the study, is that any man or any woman who makes decisions will always make mistakes. It's very, very important for us to get hold of that, because somehow or another we get the mistaken idea that when we become Christians, we become infallible. And a lot of people think that pastors become infallible. I certainly make mistakes, and I'm still learning. I made somebody's day yesterday when I had to ring the person up and say, look, I didn't understand the word that you put in the little note that you wrote to me, and I had to go to the dictionary and look it up, and that just completely made that person's day. None of us are perfect. None of us have all the answers. And I want to encourage you to be big enough to admit that as a Christian, when you make decisions, you will also make mistakes. Now, they won't be the apparent blundering mistakes, but they'll still be mistakes in the eyes of someone. That's the bottom line, in the eyes of someone. They may not be a mistake in God's eyes, but they'll be a mistake in the eyes of someone. And if you can live with that, and if you can rise above it, you'll go on to make decisions and you'll go somewhere. As my father used to say years ago, a man who never made any mistakes never made anything. So that's what we're looking at in the life of Moses tonight. Because his lifespan covered 120 years. We know that the first period was 40 years, that he was an Egyptian. That is, he was in the Egyptian court as a prince. He wasn't an Egyptian genetically. The next 40 years, he was in the wilderness as a shepherd. Now, there's a contrast there, isn't there, from a prince to a shepherd. And there are some very interesting parallels between the Prince of Peace, who became the great shepherd. And then after the 40 years in the wilderness as a shepherd, he became a leader of God's people. Now, Moses was probably one of the greatest leaders ever to walk this earth. He was a leader, a very highly qualified leader. But he was 80 years of age when he began to serve God and lead the people of God. And that means there's hope for all of us yet, isn't there? 80 years carried with it a lot of wisdom, a lot of experience, and a lot of knowledge. So what do we learn from the fact that he was 80 years old before he began to lead the people of God? We learn this. God takes a period of time to equip a person for a task. And I want to encourage you to remember that it's always good to go and sit at the feet of older people and talk with older people. Older people, believe it or not, are much wiser than those who are younger to them. There is something about life, it's the greatest university you'll ever go through, but there's something about people who have travelled the road of life and who perhaps at 60 or 70 or 80 years of age, who perhaps will be willing to talk to you if you want to talk to them about certain aspects of what's happened over a span of life, will do so and communicate to you wisdom that you cannot get out of books. I want to encourage you to do that. That's why as a church we should stay together as a family. That's why the younger people should always mix with the older people. You can learn something. Moses was prepared for 80 years and then he went out to serve God. But he learnt many lessons. There were many testing times in his life. And sometimes some of those testings perhaps were very tedious. The late Dr. Campbell Morgan has pointed out that although Moses is mentioned in Hebrews 11 here in this passage we read because of his own faith, it is also true to say of Moses that his life and his lifestyle is the result of his father and mother's faith. And you know that his mum and dad were Amram and Jochebed, and they were very brilliant people. They had a faith in Yahweh that was very strong, and that faith was projected into Moses. When was this faith projected into Moses? Yeah? When he was what? That's right, she cared for him, yes. She cared for him in Pharaoh's court. She became the handmaiden. But there's also a projection of her faith and her husband's faith in the pregnancy and in the birth. But have you ever really looked at the account in the scripture that reveals here is a mother, and indeed a father as well, but we'll think more of the mother, because really the real tear between the mother and the child is something that sometimes the father doesn't really fully understand. It took a lot of faith for her to believe that God was going to take control of her child's life. And then through miraculous circumstances, she became the handmaiden in Pharaoh's court who looked after him and who undoubtedly reared him in the faith of Yahweh. We learn some great lessons, and one of the lessons we learn is this, that it's great to have believing parents, but however much our parents may seek to bring us up in the Christian faith, and however much they may pray for us and pray for our salvation and our spiritual growth, we individually have to decide the issue of salvation and our relationship with God ourselves. In many evangelistic meetings, a lot of people really miss that issue because faith is a gift of God. Faith cometh by hearing, doesn't it? So the first gift that God gives the believer is faith. And when God has given that gift of faith to the potential believer, he then anticipates that that faith is going to become operative and the object of that faith is going to be Christ. Do you understand that? There has to be the individual decision of faith. Well, now let's look very closely at Hebrews 11 now, and we will see that for Moses, some of these decisions involved perhaps three things, and you've got them there in your notes. Refusing, which is in verse 24, then choosing, which is in verse 25, and forsaking, which is in verse 27. Now, we're told in Hebrews 11:24 that Moses, when he had come to years. Now, what does that mean? It basically means that when he had grown up. And the question I want to put to you tonight, at what age can it be said that we've grown up? I don't know whether you hear these kind of sayings or not, but some people would say, for God's sake, grow up. Or somebody will say to someone, when are you going to grow up? Now, I've heard that said to people 50 and 60 years of age. When do we grow up? You can see a child sometimes who is very grown up. And then somebody will foolishly say, oh, they've been here before, indicating that they believe in reincarnation. When did you grow up? When did I grow up? Well, you have a think about it. Or is it possible that you still haven't grown up? You see, immaturity is a very serious thing. And you can come into a church situation and people can be members of a local church for 30, 40 years and be immature. They've never grown up spiritually. You can have people 50 and 60 years of age and they've never grown up. I'm amazed when I see a 50-year-old man who's still tied to his mother's apron strings. He's never grown up, or maybe she doesn't want him to grow up, I don't know. But when do we grow up? When do we become mature? Well, we'll only ever become mature and we'll ever only grow up spiritually when we don't have to rely on anyone else but the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, let me illustrate what I mean. Say in 5 or 6 or 7 years' time, and you are suddenly called to hospital, and I'm unable to get there as your pastor. Quite frankly, if you have matured in the things of Jesus Christ and have grown up spiritually, you are not going to depend on me being there. Because you are going to be so mature in your Christian life and you are going to be so grown up into the person of Jesus Christ that no matter what happens, you know that he is in perfect control. Now, we find these things out in pastoral ministries because sometimes we race to the bedside of someone critically ill to discover that they haven't grown up. And it's sad, isn't it? You think about it and ponder it. Well, Moses was at least 40 at the time when the scripture speaks of this incident. Now, he'd had 40 years, 40 great years in the Egyptian court. He'd gone to the best schools, probably the best university, had the greatest education, but God says he hadn't grown up till just now. And all of a sudden he grew up. My curious mind and my sense of humor tells me that when he got out into the wilderness, he soon had to grow up. He didn't have the silver spoons and the silver forks to eat with, did he, in the wilderness? He didn't have the beautiful meal put down in front of him every night. He probably had to eat widgeon grubs and snakes and lizards or something like that. And you know, the greatest way for any of us to grow up is to be thrown out of our comfortable position. As I look at Moses, I see that he made a decision for God at this point in time. And this is maturity, by refusing to be part of Egypt any longer. And that's tremendous. That's maturity. And at this point, we must remember that Moses was at the prime of his manhood. And all the attractions of Egypt would have held most people spellbound. You think of all the beautiful women that may have fell at his feet. I don't know. I'm just speculating here. But I'm sure there would have been some women who would have liked to have married Moses. As we see him now, making this great decision, refusing to be part of Egypt any longer. What he really refused was what Egypt could offer him. And for a moment, let us pause and think of the people we know who have made this decision. Who do we know that made this decision? There are many. We will have Val and Les Merrin with us shortly. They refused to be part of their materialistic world when they decided to serve God and go to Thailand, didn't they? You see, there comes a time, if we really mean business with God, we too must refuse the attractions of our Egypts. And we've all got an Egypt. And there's always a part of Egypt in all of our lives until we deal with it and get rid of it. There was a part in Abraham's life until God showed him that he had to deal with Hagar and Ishmael. And so there comes a time when we have to refuse the attractions of our Egypts, whatever they may be. So there was a time when Moses made this decision, and the time was when he had matured, when he had grown up, and he was able to make the decision for himself. And that's a significant thing. Well, let's have a look at the nature of his decision. And there's five things here, and they're in your notes, about the precise nature of his decision. Firstly, it involved a refusal. Now, this is clearly stated in verse 24 of Hebrews 11. And it tells us that when faith comes into operation, we are led not only to do what is right, but to discern between right and wrong and refuse the wrong. You can see Moses beginning to logically reason this out. Then secondly, it involved a great refusal. It wasn't just an ordinary refusal, it was a great refusal. Because what was it Moses refused? Well, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's what he refused, because he was going to be a son of Yahweh. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now you can see how well his mother, his own mother as a handmaiden, had taught him in the things of Yahweh. Verse 25 then tells us that he refused the pleasures of sin. And you just think of the pleasures of sin that could have presented themselves to Moses. And you go back and read some Egyptian history and have a look at all of the idolatry that was there then. And we've got it all around us again today. And I want to tell you now that AIDS is not a new thing. It was there way back in the days of Moses. And then verse 26 says that he refused the treasures of Egypt. Now, there are three outstanding things. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused the pleasures of sin. And he refused the treasures of Egypt. Now, would you not agree that from a worldly point of view, he was quite insane? But you know, many Christians today wouldn't have made the choice that Moses made. And that's sad. You see, Moses was not choosing or making a decision according to the standard of the world. Oh no, Moses was making a decision for eternity. Because you see, this decision that he makes here to refuse the things of Egypt now brings his faith into total operation, because he's about to embark on that wilderness experience for 40 years. And you can't embark on any wilderness experience unless faith is operative in your life. Thirdly, in refusing what for him was wrong, he also chose what was right. And verse 25 says he chose affliction. And verse 26 says he chose reproach. And verse 26 also says he chose an eternal reward. Now, how many of us tonight would choose the affliction of our brethren in communist China? How many of us tonight would bear the reproach of Jesus Christ? And how many of us tonight would have Operation Faith so functional that all we could see was an eternal reward for faithfulness? The very interesting key here is this, that way back there, which is approximately 1500 BC, Moses knew the reproach of Jesus Christ. Well, then fourthly, I see that what Moses made here was a very wonderful decision. You see, the word esteeming in your English translation in verse 26 is a very interesting word, because in the Greek it means accounting or balancing up. You see it there in verse 26, it's a very interesting word. Esteeming the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, when you look at that Greek word, it brings out all of this great wonderful meaning, accounting or balancing up. So in simple language, Moses weighed up the whole matter very carefully and then made his decision. Now, I think there's a very valuable lesson for us. So many decisions in the Christian church and in the Christian lifestyle are made on the spur of the moment, and they are made emotionally and irrationally. You never make decisions like that. Let me tell you, any one of us who make decisions like that will live with the mistake and the regret of it. It's always better to sit down with God, because what does God say? Come, let us reason together. Come, let's talk about it. Come, let's see how it's all going to fit into place. And what does the Lord Jesus teach? He teaches that before you even dare to build, you sit down and work out the formation of the foundation, don't you? Just to give you a personal illustration, when I knew that God had called me to the Christian ministry, we as a family had to sit down and work it all out and weigh it all up. We knew what we had to give up. We had to sell a house. We knew that 6 long years at college, some of it I was going to work as a bus driver. Some of it we had to go through on our savings. And instead of eating steak, we had to eat sausage mince. Can't even look at sausage mince today. We had to sit down and work it out as a family. We had to count the cost. And I want to encourage you that as a body of believers, we need to always sit down and count the cost. We need to make what I call considered decisions. You don't make them irrationally, you don't make them emotionally, but you base them on the Word of God. Just think about it and pray about it. We see Moses here weighing up all the matters carefully and then making his decision. Well, did Moses lose much? Oh, yes, he lost everything, didn't he, really, as far as material things go. He lost all the pleasures of Egypt. Instead of riding in a beautiful gold-gilded chariot when he went out into the wilderness, he had to walk across the hot desert sands almost with bare feet. But what was the gain? A deep, beautiful relationship with Yahweh. And that's all that really matters, isn't it? Well, fifthly, it was a right decision. It was costly, but it was right. And every decision we make for the Lord Jesus Christ must be right, that is, right according to his standards, but it will also be costly, also be very, very costly. Now, if we are truly Christian, we are not of this world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. I mean, we can't get out of the world till we go to be with the Lord, or should the rapture take place. I mean, we still have to go to the Bowser and fill the car up with petrol, still have to go to the supermarket. But clearly, the Scripture teaches that we are not to be of the world. And this is the very beautiful picture of Moses now. Moses was not of the world of Egypt. He'd made the choice. Now, when I'm talking about being in the world and not of the world, I'm meaning this, that we don't go places that would bring Christ into disrepute. We don't become part of that which has got shady dealings. The world will tell you it's all right, but it's not all right. Somebody rang me the other day and they asked me about a certain place. And I said, oh, if you want to walk back into Satan's territory, that's all right by me, but don't invite me there. And I'm on the invitation list to be at that beautiful gathering later on in the year. But I would refuse to go. And I'll tell you now, if ever you invite me to a wedding breakfast and you have it in a hall where there's been martial arts or anything like that, I'll graciously decline your invitation. I mean, I won't even go to a restaurant that I consider to be shady. I know it's difficult now to go to a restaurant where alcohol is not served. But there still are restaurants where alcohol is not served. Not every time I can get out of it, but I prefer to decline it if I can. So Moses made that choice. He said, I'm in the world, but I don't need to be part of it. And I think that's very important. Now, it's going to cost you something to be that. It's very costly to be a Christian. We move along quickly because time is moving. Now, what was it that constrained Moses to make this great decision? Now, let's look very closely at verse 25, Hebrews 11. Two things come out, and they are for us to take very, very special notice of. Now, will you notice that any gains by staying in Egypt would only be temporary for Moses, as it is with us in our Egypts? Secondly, whatever he might deny himself in time would be fully compensated by the reward he would receive in eternity. Where your heart is, there will be your treasure. And if your treasure is in an Egypt, well, that's where your heart is. Well, that's where you'll always be. You'll always be there. You'll always be in bondage. Well, verse 26 tells us that Moses had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In simple language, Moses looked beyond that which he could see into eternity, and he knew that he would be rewarded for faithfulness to his Lord. And that's all that really matters, isn't it? Is our faithfulness to our Lord. You know, I often smile sometimes when I get invited to go and speak to college students. And I stand up in front of them for about an hour, and me and my wicked sense of humor often says things that jolt students into reality. You know, I look at some students, and you'll see a bloke there, and he's trying to model himself on Spurgeon. And some of them want to be great preachers, and some of them want to be great orators, and some of them want to be well-known and great counselors and everything. You know, the Bible doesn't have a word to say about any of that. What does the Bible say about the servant, or all servants of God? That it's required of him to be what? Found faithful. And Moses was found faithful in the eyes of Yahweh. When Moses was faced with a decision, or I think there's several decisions there, I can see that he had an eye on heaven and eternity, and therefore he acted in light of eternity and the values of eternity. And I think the great lesson I want to encourage you to learn, as I have learned it and I'm still learning it, you don't stop learning it, is that all that really matters in this life are the values of eternity. Well, let's break into four groups and let's have some prayer.